Only the basics. I'm Lieutenant Eric O'Dwyer, by the way, officer in charge. He came around the table and offered her his hand with his best grin. I'll be your partner in crime. The woman pushed off the wall and stepped inside. Special Agent Nicole Gamboa. She shook his hand and, damn, that was quite a grip. My crew? Eric introduced, gesturing first to his Aviation Warfare Specialist, or AW. This is Bomber. Whether Bomber had earned his call sign from his perpetual habit of plugging up the head every time he dropped a deuce, or because he got snot-slinging drunk on port calls, Eric didn't know yet. This was his first time deploying with a seasoned aviation warfare specialist. Their current cruise was a 3-month-long counter-drug operation off the coast of South America aboard the USS Lake Champlain. The ship they'd left a few hours ago to join an operation that now looked guaranteed to bring Eric a world of hurt. And this is Lieutenant Kyle Hammond. He gestured at Mikey, who pushed to his feet and tossed Agent Gamboa one of his trademark, can't wait to get you naked smiles. She wasn't amused. Could hardly blame her. In the case of this mission, that probably hit too close to home. But when it came to women, Mikey only had one speed, player. And despite how plainly he projected his intentions to the fair sex, he rarely ran short on female attention. Sandy-haired and blue-eyed, Mikey had some definite goods going for him. Good height, he clocked in at an inch below Eric's 6'1", and good-looking. His great was that he had the naval aviator swagger and smirk down pat, and that's what regularly got him laid. Special Agent Gamboa turned back to Eric. What about you? Her focus dropped pointedly to his name tag. What's with the LZ? It stands for landing zone. Agent Gamboa's lips slanted. Thank you, I was able to translate that much. She switched to a wide-legged stance and crossed her arms again. The posture didn't suit her, boxing in her body, making her appear awkward, when he'd guessed she was the farthest thing from, and almost mannish, which he knew she wasn't. Why are you called landing zone? She asked. Chapter 2. 15 hours earlier, USS Lake Champlain, CG-57, Ticonderoga-class cruiser off the coast of Venezuela. The man's look of sheer terror appeared out of the dense night fog. Eric locked a curse behind his teeth, catching only a glimpse of a pair of wide-open eyes before the surface warfare officer dove down the back stairs of the control tower, sent there by Eric's helicopter rotor blades slicing through the air mere inches from the tower's glass, and the man's face. Eric yanked back on the stick. Wave off, Mikey yelled. Yeah, already there, man. Eric pulled up on the collective with his left hand to add power while he increased pressure on the left pedal. The ship's deck lights smeared back into the goo as he swooped the bird lower over the surface of the ocean, the subsonic movement of the blades whipping up a mist of rotor wash. Eric added more power and gained altitude, flying into open air. Fuck, that was close, Mikey hissed, his voice coming through Eric's earpiece. Have you ever flown in weather this bad before? Negative. Sweat ran through Eric's hair, making his helmet feel too tight for his head. They'd been in this mess for more than 45 minutes, ever since returning from an emergency medevac to find ceiling and visibility conditions sitting squarely at 00. Lights on the ship were barely discernible, and the small deck of the cruiser where they were supposed to set down was completely invisible. LZ, Mikey said, his eyes pinned on the gauges. Fuel is now below minimums. We're down to 300 pounds of gas. Shit. Enough for one more approach and that's it. Mikey turned his head, glancing up from his vigilant study of the gauges. So we need to consider ditching? His tone was calm on the outside, but Eric could detect a note underneath it. Probably because setting down a helicopter in the ocean at night while in foul weather, both of which negated use of the horizon as a reference point, was a tricky maneuver to manage safely, if not impossible. Eric would need to be able to hover steadily over the ocean, then lower down to the surface gently and immediately slam on the rotor brake. If he landed at all lopsided, the helo would flip over while the blades were still spinning, catapulting them into a high-speed tumble that would most likely kill them. And if that didn't, then the steel rotor blades exploding into shrapnel would. None of the options were on Eric's bucket list. Unfortunately, there weren't a whole lot of other choices he could see. With so little fuel, flying to another airfield was out. It was either plant his wheels on the deck of the USS Lake Champlain, and they'd nearly crashed during that last attempt, or land in the ocean. A man's true character.